In Isaiah 60, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Praise the Lord. What a difference light makes, right? For everybody who has stubbed your toe in the darkness, for everybody who has broken furniture in the darkness or broken something on your feet in the darkness, you understand what a difference light makes. If you were to look up light on Wikipedia, the first thing you see is a definition that light is the electromagnetic radiation within certain portion of the electromagnetic spectrum. What? What? Baloney, right? Light is life. I want to tell you, light is life. Webster defines it a little bit more in layman's terms here, that light is something that makes vision possible. Now that I can wrap my head around, right? Something that makes vision possible. If we don't know who we are, if we don't know where we're going in life, we don't know what our purpose is upon this earth, maybe we're not walking in light the way that we think we're walking in light. Here's the good news for you, church. See, God is light. The Bible affirms that in many different ways. In the letter of 1 John, in chapter 1, John tells us this. He says, "This is the message we have heard from you and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." Now, if we look at this, that God is light, and we put it into the definition of light, so light is something that makes vision possible, then we could say this. We could say, God is something that makes vision possible. Or we can make this a little bit more simple to say, in God we see. In God, we see. Man, oftentimes we're concerned about where we're going, and with rightful reason, right? When we carry a light around, I apologize for the blindness that you are receiving right now. When we carry a light around, amazing, two AA batteries, all it takes. We're shining them out in front of us, and we're often concerned with where we're going in the light. And God loves us so much that he's given us his word that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. But when we talk about God is light, this is what the light of God does to us right here. It reveals us. It reveals what's going on up here. It reveals what's going on in here. And for some of you, I know that that's a scary thing to think about. Did you know the sun that we have? Not talking about the Son of God, the S-U-N, the great ball of fire in the heavens, right? The sun kind of gets a bad rap due to skin cancer. I understand, but you realize that being in the sun is a very helpful thing for us. These are just some scientific reasons why exposure to the sun is a very good thing. Do you know it makes stronger bones in your body? Praise the Lord. For somebody who doesn't have muscles, I mean, this is my workout routine right here. This afternoon, I'm going out for night in Bethlehem, build up, and I'm just, yes, I'm at the gym. It's my gym out there in the sun. Do you know in the sun, we get better sleep being exposed to the sun during the day? Some of you better think about that, right? Do you know that this is scientific? We have improved moods from receiving sunlight as opposed to living in Alaska in the dark time of the year, right? In the sunlight, we have a healthier immune system. Praise the Lord. The light that God created has incredible healthy benefits. And so some of you are saying, I don't want God to do this to me. I'm afraid of what that's going to reveal. But what if the light of God is exactly what you need? What if the light of God is exactly the health that you were created for to receive? It is that very thing, church. God's light is exactly what we need. Then we have a major problem, right? Well, how do I get into God's light? And here's the glory of the light of God. You see that God is the author of light upon the earth. And we see it from the very, very beginning, don't we? In Genesis chapter 1, in verses 3 through 5, God tells us this. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And how incredible is that, right? That the heavens and the earth had just been created, and there was darkness over it, and all God had to do was open up his mouth and utter the words, light. And light burst forth into the darkness. So God is the author of light. And even David tells us here in Psalm 139 in talking about light. He says this in verse 11 and 12. He said, "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you." Even the darkness is not dark to you, it's light. How can that possibly be the case? Because when God shows up, the darkness becomes light, right? And we see here that God is not confined to a place of light. It's not like he said, okay, over here is where light's going to be, and then over here is where darkness is going to be. No, that's not the case at all. He causes light in the dark. Now, we know, even by definition, that darkness would be defined as the absence of light. That's what creates darkness. And do you realize that darkness cannot encroach upon the light, but light ceases darkness' existence? Right? So even the darkness is light to God because he's there, and darkness flees. Now, I love this week of Night in Bethlehem, and all of our staff talk about it because we get out of our normal routine and we're spending every day out here doing different stuff, which is a lot of fun. And as you go back to your cars, you're going to walk past the sets that are on the ground, and a thought's going to occur in your head, well, I don't guess a Night in Bethlehem is going to be as nice this year as it has been in years past when you see these sets. I mean, they're nicked up, they're beat up, you can see 2x4s along the back of them, and so you have to understand the statement that we say as a staff quite often with the Night in Bethlehem, darkness makes it beautiful. Well, you know what I'm talking about, right? We will never have a Night in Bethlehem in the daylight, never. Can you imagine how hard it would be to make something look good when the sunlight is shining down on it? We can't do that. Darkness makes it look beautiful all the time. It's amazing how darkness covers blemishes up. Isn't that scary, though, for us as humans? Man, why do you hang out with these people that are like horrible people? They make me look better. Yeah, they're so dark. My darkness doesn't seem so bad after all, right? The problem is darkness can make us look better, and so we get comfortable in the darkness. And we flee from the very thing that would shine on us to expose those things that are dark within us so that that darkness flees within our heart, church. Don't get comfortable with the darkness. That's where toes are stubbed. That's where furniture is broken. That's where bad things happen. So God is the author of light upon the earth. And you're saying, well, you still haven't helped me. I still want to get in the light. I've seen people in the light. Then here's the beauty of it, right? That God is not up there in the heavens and he's shining down this beam of light. Oh, now it's on India. Oh, no, it's traveling up to Europe. When's it going to cross the ocean and come to us? And you're just waiting to try to get into his light. That's not the way that it works with God. You see, God's light was born into this world. It was born into the world through Jesus Christ. Isn't that incredible news? This is why we celebrate Christmas right here. And Isaiah tells us all about it in Isaiah chapter 9. In verse 2, Isaiah says it this way. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. And then verse 6, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Praise the Lord. So in Bethlehem, so many years ago, light was born into the world through Jesus Christ. And as this baby, Jesus, grew to become a man, even he would testify of this. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, the Bible says, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He is the light of the world. The true light of the world. You know, one of the things that my family loves about Christmas time are just the Christmas lights. Man, y'all go all out here in Kyle for Christmas lights. I know some of you are competing against your neighbors. Things are inflated. Things are hung. It's pretty crazy what you do in your yards. So we love to drive around and see these Christmas lights. I put a few up here just for you to see. This is not my house, right? Like, Clark Griswold might live at this house if we were to go and knock on the door. Isn't that crazy? I mean, that's a lot of light. When he flips on the lights at night, whoa! When he flips on the lights at night, the rest of the city just dims down, you know, a little bit when that happens. There's a little sign here at the front of this yard, and we can't zoom into the picture enough to see it, but I'm pretty sure it says, do not walk here because you will step and break on lights, right? Something bad will happen right here. I mean, these are the people that brought about LED lights because they were sucking too much energy out of the system, and so we had to come up with LEDs to figure this out. How easy is it to get distracted by little twinkling artificial lights that get our attention and distract us from the true light that is Jesus Christ? So, Jonathan, it's not a bad thing to like Christmas lights. I understand that, but do you realize that if we just settle for artificial light, for not the real deal, that there's negative effects that artificial light can have on our health? Again, this is scientific here. Don't argue with the messenger right here, okay? Artificial light can negatively affect health in obesity. I personally think that's the case because it means you're sitting on the couch too much. In artificial light, you need to get off the couch and get in the sunlight and exercise, right? Artificial light can negatively affect health through depression, through sleep disorders. So the light that God created, it helps us be able to sleep. Artificial light creates sleep disorders. Artificial light can further diabetes. Artificial light has been linked to the growth of breast cancer. And this list is much, much more. Again, you're saying, Jonathan, right, you kind of jumped the wagon there that, again, a Christmas light is not a bad thing. Little twinkly things aren't a bad thing. I understand that, but you know as well as I do that even sometimes a good thing, where Christmas lights are a good thing, that sometimes too much of a good thing is also a bad thing. Any chocolate lovers out there? You know what I'm talking about, right? Let me see your hands, chocolate. Yes, there we are. The way that it just melts in your mouth. Oh, my goodness, man. And it coats your throat, right, where you want to cough, but you don't want to end the goodness that's going down in your throat. It's beautiful, isn't it? But it's not rocket science to know too much chocolate is a bad thing. Right? You know my testimony of this summer with Coca-Cola. All right, I don't know if there is actually anything redeeming about a Coca-Cola, but the burn, oh my goodness. Yeah, when it that initial burn, it just feels so good. The sound of heaven when it's opening up, right, in that can, it's so beautiful and so amazing, right? But then, of course, you know my testimony. If you're drinking 6 liters a day, it's going to jack up your stomach. That's why I stopped drinking Coke. And my stomach has never known such peace. That little phone that you have in your purse and in your pocket, that's amazing. It's the most amazing thing that our world has seen electronically, right? It's amazing. You have more in your hand than Neil Armstrong had in all of NASA to get him to the moon, right there in your hand. I mean, that's crazy that that's the case. And too much of it is a bad thing. Am I right about that? So, Jonathan, I need my phone because I need that for Jesus. Listen, let's not get distracted here. It's never Jesus plus my phone equals eternal life, or Jesus plus chocolate equals eternal life, although there's going to be chocolate in heaven. There has to be, right? It's never that. It is Jesus. He is the true light and the only light of the world. Do you believe that, church? Right? And we can't get settled for just settling for artificial light. We can't get so distracted by it that that's all we are receiving in this life. Jesus is the true light of the world. Man, in Jesus' light, there's other benefits, right? In Jesus' light, there's joy. And I'm not talking about, right, sometimes a Christmas light can give us happiness. Sometimes chocolate can give us happiness. But in Jesus' light, there's a joy that resides in our hearts in the good times and in the bad times. There's joy. That's what Jesus' light does in our lives. Can you imagine being a magi and putting your caravan together of probably hundreds of people and braving across the deserts and braving next to the rivers and facing bandits and thieves that would come to attack and trying to hide the treasure that you've hidden because it's worth it to bring it to a king that has been born and coming and then navigating these nasty politics of Jerusalem and evil Herod who just has his own agenda and surviving that time to make your way to Bethlehem to see the star that's residing over this house where a baby has been born and walking in and bowing down at the feet of Jesus, what joy would come upon their lives. It was worth it. The journey was worth it. The gifts were worth it. The king has been born. Can you imagine being a shepherd and being in the field and nobody comes and talks to shepherds? They're so lowly, but suddenly angels are appearing before you and they're saying about peace on earth and they're saying a Savior has been born. And as soon as the angels disappear, you take off running and you come to that manger in Bethlehem and you see this one that's laying in a manger and you worship him. A Savior has been born and peace rests in your heart. This is the one who has come to save us. That's why we sing about joy to the world. That's why we sing about peace upon this earth, because God's light has been born into the world through Jesus Christ. But church, this is amazing. See, we receive God's light when we receive Jesus Christ. This is John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And I love, absolutely love this statement that in the beginning was the Word. And we know that in the Greek language, in the beginning was the Logos, right? The Word. And can you imagine that we're a people who have lived off of the Word that God has delivered to his prophets. And that Word has directed our steps as a world. In the beginning was this Word. And we make it personal to say, I remember that time in my life where I was going going astray, and I needed just a word of truth to direct my life, and it delivered. This word of truth was delivered to me, and it straightened out my life for what I needed. And in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And we go back to our beginning statements on the definitions of light to say that light is life. Right, light is life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has not overcome it. Again, because darkness cannot overcome light. Right, it's impossible for that to happen because light is built to overcome darkness. When light moves, darkness flees. When light goes into an area of darkness, we don't say it's an area of darkness anymore. We say it's an area of light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, we don't need to be coy about who this Word is and who this light is and who this life is, because we're going to be told in verse 14 that this Word is Jesus Christ. This light is Jesus Christ. This life is Jesus. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light. He came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming to the world. The true light that enlightens everyone. Or that family member that you think there's no hope for them. This light can enlighten even that family member. That coworker that you think, oh, they've lost it. Write them off. This light has the power to enlighten even that coworker. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. Colossians tells us by his hands he crafted the world. And you see the Father speaking out, let there be light. And you see those words resting in the hands of Jesus Christ, bringing light to the world. He came to his own, but his own people did not receive him. Why would the world not know him? Why would his own people not receive him? Because sometimes we just love darkness. Because sometimes we've gotten so comfortable in the dark, hiding, not wanting our sin to be exposed, not wanting our hearts to be cleansed. Look in verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Woo! He gave us the right to become children of God. You know what children testify to? I have seen the light. You know what children testify to? I know the light because it's my daddy, right? That's what a child testifies to, that I have been brought by belief in Jesus Christ into the light because I received his light into my heart, and my life will never be the same. No longer do I walk in darkness. Now I walk in the light. And some of you are looking at me, you're saying, well, I've known the light, but I just wrestle with darkness. Well, if we go back to this first letter that John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, he talks about this. In 1 John chapter 1, in verses 6 and 7, he says this, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that beautiful? He says, hey, in the light, even your relationships are brought into order. In your light, even the fellowship that you have with the Father is brought into order. What is he saying here? We don't even fear darkness in the light, because light has overcome the dark. Even King David would say this in Psalm 27:1. He would say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Praise the Lord. We receive God's light when we receive Jesus Christ. Well, what would we do in this life without aim of flames? What a radical concept that changed life, right? The aim of flame, it's much easier than matches, much easier even than the normal lighter where you wear calluses on your thumb for lighting it up. This is you. So Jonathan, I felt good about being the light until you used this weak flame illustration right up here, right? This is you. You get too crazy with it, it goes out, right? Now, this is you. Do you know that your light has never been something of Scripture? It's God's light, right? This is you, but I'm weak and I'm fragile. But do you know that your light, it's never been about this. It's been about the source of your light. This source is a little bitty handle full of oil right here that's triggered by a trigger. That's original, isn't it? But your source is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Your source is the light of the world, right? There's this battery commercial today that says, oh, is the battery for more power or is it for longer lasting? Listen, your power source is the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Your longer lastingness, right? Your ability to persevere and to go is the source of Jesus Christ. It's who you're plugged into that matters for the light. Well, what happens when I went crazy and it kind of blew out? That's why we grab hold of Jesus, that he's our source. Well, what happens if somebody really made me mad and I lost it for a second? It's Jesus. Well, what happens if I have the fellowship sticker on the back of my car and I did something bad? It's Jesus that's our source, or that's what we come back to. That's why we grab hold of him for all we're worth, for our life depends on it. Our life, the light of life, depends on it. I have a Christmas gift for you this morning. You're going to love it. It's another point that's not in your bulletin. Aren't you excited? You're already folding up your Bibles. You're folding up your message notes. Get those things back out. Get the pens cranking again and write this down. Listen to this. We give God's light when we talk about Jesus and when we act about him, when we act like him. Oh, what an important thing this is to say. You see, the light of the world isn't supposed to stop with you. You don't just receive it and then that's the end all. That's not the end all of the gospel. You are designed to give God's light. That's why Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 that you are the light of the world. You are a city on a hill. Now, let's just put that into the definition that we had for light at the beginning, right? Light is something that makes vision possible. So here we go. In you, you make vision possible. Not your power, right? Being plugged into the source that is Jesus. In Jesus, in you, you make vision possible. Let's just make that a little more simple. In you, the world sees. In you, the world sees. How many in this room would testify to say, I have seen the light? Children of God, you out there? Anybody testify? All right, some of you are waking up and like, I should have raised my hand. He's going to think that I haven't seen it. And I have. I've seen the light. And I don't know if this is your testimony, but I would say this. I have found the light. And in this light that I've found joy. And I've found peace as I've walked with Jesus. And church, the world is in desperate need of this light. It's the point of Jesus' birth, that light was born into the world. What good is that light if it's hidden from the world? What good is joy to the world if the world never knows it? What good is peace on earth if hearts never encounter it? Light has come through Jesus Christ, and the world will know it through you. Father, thank you so much for the reminder this morning. God, thank you for the example that you have taught us so easily through light, Lord, that we can see through light, and the example that you've given us that Jesus is the light of the world. And Father, I just pray over us this morning that we would be able to cling to the light that is Jesus Christ. For our life depends on it, Lord, because light is life. Life to us. Father, I pray that you would convict our hearts where we have settled for artificial light instead of settling for the light of the world. God, I pray that you would reveal those areas in our life so that we can recalibrate our lives and our families to be focused again on the light that is found in Jesus Christ and in him alone. God, give us the courage to allow you to shine your light upon us, to get rid of the darkness that we've grown comfortable with, and to follow you. Father, give us the strength to be the light of the world in a world that's walking in darkness. In Jesus' name we pray.